The title of this message, as you see in your worship notes, is The Mind of Christ. The text is James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. John Merrick's only crime was that he was born ugly. The result of genetic deficiencies produced significant physical abnormalities. His skin was excessive and with many folds of extra tissue. A huge oversized head with massive bumps. His right arm was huge and useless. The other was normal but delicate. His diseased, deformed body also produced an odious smell, which was repugnant to anyone that came close to John Merrick. Because of his appearance, his family soon abandoned him to spend his childhood in what was then known as a local workhouse. Later, because of his limited physical mobility, the only thing he could do was to be a part of a traveling freak show. He became known, as we have discovered later, as the Elephant Man. But if you were to have attended the freak show and had the opportunity to pay the money needed to see John Merrick, they handed out a pamphlet, which was a part of his particular booth, on which John Merrick had written a poem that he penned. And the poem that the Elephant Man wrote says this: "'Tis true my form is something odd, but blaming me is blaming God. Could I create myself anew, I would not fail in pleasing you. If I could reach from pole to pole or grasp the ocean with a span, I would be measured by the soul. The mind's the standard of the man. The mind is the standard of the man. If that is true, how would you be measured today? I'm afraid some of us would be normal on the outside, but according to our mental state, we would be more deformed than John Merrick was on the outside. You see, there was used to be a phrase in an advertisement. I think it was for black colleges. At the end of that TV advertisement, they would always say, "The mind is a terrible thing to waste." The Bible has so much to say about the mind. Here's just a few selected references or phrases from God's Word concerning the significance of the mind. The Bible talks about the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the fervent mind, the willing mind, the humble mind, the reprobate mind, the vain mind, double-minded, sound mind, ready mind, right mind, doubtful mind, forward mind, lowliness of mind. It would seem that God would agree with John Merrick's assessment that the mind is the measure of the man or the person. Because the Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are made by our minds. What is it Isaiah 26:3 says? He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You remember when Jesus met that Gadarene demoniac, that crazy man running around the tombs that could not be chained by anyone. When he was delivered by Jesus of that legion of demons that possessed him, how was it that the people of his community discerned that something had happened? The Scripture says they saw him and that he was seated and in his right mind. You see, could it be that Jesus was right? God was right. You see, what's terrible is the Bible says that all Christians have available to us the mind of Christ. How much more wasted is the life as a believer when we are attempting to live our lives according to our mind and not according to His. Turn with me, please, to this text of Scripture I've just mentioned, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's Word this morning. And James writes, "But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. but let him ask in faith without reproach, and it will be given him. Let him ask without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything of the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Very quickly this morning, three things I want to say out of this text. And you see you have plenty of fill in the blanks. I trust you'll follow along and do so as we go. First of all, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we must admit our present condition. The scripture says in James, if anyone lacks wisdom, 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. When it says if anyone lacks wisdom, it's describing a particular kind of wisdom. It's not talking about worldly wisdom. There are numerous people who declare themselves to be worldly wise, but that kind of wisdom is foolishness with God. And then Romans 8:7 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. What is the spiritual assessment by God of the condition of man's mind? Again, in Romans chapter 1, you find this verse. It won't be on your screen. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We've had an example of that this week. I got an email from one of our precious Bible study teachers about Wednesday or Thursday, saying, what did I think about the world ending Saturday? I simply said, well, I'm planning on preaching Sunday, if that's any indication. He said, well, I guess I'll have to prepare my Sunday school lesson too. The abject foolishness for people to prophesy directly against what the Word of God says. No one will know. Quit guessing. No one will know. Be ready every day, every second, every moment, and it doesn't matter when the world ends. You're ready for it to end anytime. Foolishness, the scripture says. But if we're going to get the mind of Christ, if we're going to gain the wisdom of God, if we're going to have a mind that pleases God, we must first admit that our mind does not. You see, before a person can have a solution to a problem, they must admit that they have a problem. It's like I heard the story about the woman that went into her counselor's office for the first time. She had a fried egg on top of her head. He said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, yeah, I'm here to see you about my husband. He's got a problem. Well, folks, this is the truth. We've all got a problem. We've all got mental problems. We've all got mental deficiencies. We are fleshly and carnal and vain and doubtful and self-centered and ignorant minds. Our problem is our mind. But if we're going to discover the mind of Christ, we better admit to the mind that we have is not sufficient in ourselves. To come to the prodigal son had to come to the end of himself before he could begin with the Father afresh and anew. Let me ask you today, is there anybody here, I know this is a stretch, that lacks wisdom? Raise your hand. Okay, you need wisdom. Let me ask you today, anybody here really, really need the mind of Christ? Raise your hand. Need the mind of Christ? You know, it's funny how things stick with you. When I was in high school, a senior in high school, the church I was attending then was Gardendale Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, and we had an evangelist that came through, a music evangelist, Roger McDuff, and a wonderful tenor. He sang a song I had never heard. It was called Satisfied Mind. Some of the lyrics still stick with me. You'll never find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Oh, I listened to that song and I thought, Lord, I want a mind that's satisfied. If you're going to ever have one, you better start by saying, God, I got something wrong in my mind, my thinking. I have a disturbed mind, a distraught mind, a fractured mind, a frustrated mind, an anxious mind. If we're going to discover to think like God and have the mind of Christ, you better start by saying, God, what I have in me is not good enough. I'm wrong. Next is ask God for help. It's as simple as that. James chapter 1, 6 says, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. And he tells us how to pray and ask God to give us his mind, to minister to our minds, and to pray in faith. It's how we pray. It's not that we just pray. Many prayers are said, but in faith, it's the quality, not just the content. It's the quality of the spirit, attitude, heart of the prayer before God. It's believing that God wants to give us his mind. It's believing that he can give us his mind. It's believing that I truly need his mind. And it's praying and trusting that as I seek him and respond to what he gives, he will give me more of his mind. It's simply by asking. Number three, I need to move on because it's going to be, I'm reversing today. Usually my longest point's one. Today my longest point is my last one. Got to keep you guessing. Number three, act in obedience. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. To ask for wisdom. And then when God gives some wisdom, and then our reaction to the wisdom that God gives is rebellion or indifference or rejection or denial. How often have we consistently lived against the promptings of the Holy Spirit or in obedience to the revealed will of the Word of God, and then we wonder why our minds are disturbed? Because we are living in rejection to what he's already told us to do. Why would he give us more of things that we are going to reject when we haven't lived fully to what we already know to be the will of God? Act in obedience. You see what happens when we ask for wisdom and God gives it, and yet we deny the things that he's told us to do, is the result is confused mind, spiritual darkness, depression. I'm not saying if you're depressed, you're rejecting God. I'm just saying there are consequences of denying and rejecting the wisdom of God in our lives. Peace comes through obedience. Now notice these things. First of all, develop an informed mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are of the earth. That is a determined choice of the will, choosing how and what you will think about. Again, it's a scripture not listed in your worship notes or on the screen, but if you write down this reference, Philippians 4:8-9, you've heard it before, where it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things, and notice that he doesn't stop there. Don't just think about it. Listen to what he says. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And then, I added the then, and the will and the God of peace shall be with you. As a result of what? Thinking and practicing the things of God through your mind. Develop an informed mind. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to have an informed mind? You want to know, listen, you want to know what the mind of Christ, you want to know what Jesus thought? I encourage you sometime, get a red letter edition of the New Testament. The red letter meaning all the words spoken by Jesus are in red, and read everything that came out of his mouth. That'll give you a hint of what was on his mind. And then review the life of Jesus and see his actions, not only his thoughts and his words, but then his actions, what Jesus did with his life. He tells us in one place, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Jesus' behavior, consistent with his words and his thoughts, represent an example for us to follow and to embrace. We are to develop an informed mind. More and more, I read all the time surveys of present American culture and even present Christian culture in America, and the growing amount of biblical ignorance is staggering. When people who claim a relationship with God and some connection to some fellowship, and then when they begin to ask them questions about faith, how many times they say things that are consistent with American secular culture and absolutely in contradiction to the Word of God. Is it any wonder that we have disturbed minds when we haven't learned to meditate, memorize, and read and think on the Word of God? Develop an informed mind. Next, be single-minded. We read in James, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. This single-mindedness doesn't simply mean just to focus on one thing. It's talking about the purity of the focus. The purity of that focus. To be pure-minded as we think on the things of God. But we learn pretty quickly that the standards of purity that God expects and commands is different from what we would define as purity according to our standards. Purity is a wonderful thing. When something is pure, it exists in its essential nature, undefiled, unblemished, and uncontaminated. That's what purity means. We are serious about some forms of purity in American society. A whole department of the federal government, the Food and Drug Administration, is charged with monitoring and protecting the purity of what we eat. Aren't you glad? But our standards of purity are not always what we might hope. Here are the federal guidelines of purity for a few familiar products. And I read, apple butter. Anybody ever had any apple butter? All right, there you go. This is the standard of the government. If the mold count is 12% or more, if it averages 4 rodent hairs per 100 grams or more, if it averages 5 or more whole insects, then it would be pulled from the shelf. If it falls below those averages, it's what you spread on your muffin. Coffee beans. Here we go. Coffee beans will get withdrawn from the market if it averages, if an average of 10% or more, 10% or more, 9% is okay, are insect infested, or if there is one live insect in each of 2 or more immediate containers. How about mushrooms? Mushrooms can't be sold if there's an average of 20 or more maggots of any size per 15 grams of dried mushrooms. 19 or less, that's okay. That's okay. Fig paste. If there are more than 13 insect heads per 100 grams of fig paste in each of the 2 or more subsamples, the FDA ruthlessly tosses the whole batch. Anything less than that, fig paste go out. And lastly, hot dogs. I'm not even going to tell you about hot dogs. I'll just let your mind wander. What about the standards of God for the purity of our minds? Third is to use your whole mind. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Intellectually, thoughtfully, decisively, emotionally, willfully, meditatively, love God with your mind. Next, renew your mind. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Folks, this is the truth. We don't have to do anything to renew our fleshly mind, our carnal mind, our self-centered mind. We don't have to do anything. It generates its own source of wickedness because that's who we are in ourselves. You don't have to seek renewed opportunities to feed the fleshly mind, the carnal mind. You don't have to set an agenda, have a reading schedule, have to set out some meditative activity so you can create your mind to be more fleshly or carnal or self-centered. I mean, you don't have to do anything. Just step outside, drive down the highway, look at billboards, read newspaper topics, go inside of a grocery store before you pay for that Coca-Cola. Don't let your eyes drop and see that rack of 47 magazines on the shelf right below the counter. We don't have to seek opportunities for our carnal mind to be fed. It is self-feeding all the time. But as Christians, we have to determine to have the mind of Christ. It's just like a diet. Here's that word. It's just like a diet. You got to work at it if you want it. Renew your minds. What is the purpose of gathering here on a weekly basis? To renew our minds. Why don't we read the word daily? To renew our minds. Why do we seek to limit what we see, hear, and speak? It's to keep our minds renewed daily. I've gotten the habit. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. And I think I've told you before, I never ventured in Starbucks because I didn't know how to order. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't know how to order. I figured it out. Skinny La Grande 5 pumps. It ain't nearly as skinny when I get through with it. But just to sit in there, listen to the conversation. We need our minds renewed all the time. Next, seek unity of mind. Wow. Romans 15:6, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repeatedly in Scripture, it's not only that I should have the mind of Christ and you should have the mind of Christ, but as a result of you having the mind of Christ and me having the mind of Christ and the person next to you having the mind of Christ, then we have the mind of Christ together. Repeatedly in Scripture, we find references to one accord, same mind, one mind, like-minded. The family of God ought to be of the same mind. We ought to be on the same page. Oh, we're going to have some taste preferences and we're going to have some minor issue distinctions, but keep those minor. Don't let minor become major. The things on which we major, we ought to be of the same mind. The mind of Christ. And then the last is to be spiritually minded. Mary Jo, you and Stan, make your way. They're going to be singing. She's going to be singing in a moment. Be spiritually minded. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 and 12.
Notice what the scripture says. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. But we have, there it is, but I have, let's say it together, I have the mind of Christ. Let's say it again. I have the mind of Christ. Or we should have. It's God's promise. It's His provision. It's His opportunity. He's saying here, if you want it, you can have it. Now, yes, it's going to take some determination. You're going to have to change your diet of what you think or what you read or what you hear or what you speak. I spoke to a doctor the other day, went and had a heart scan. Turned out he was a member of First Baptist Dallas. Spent 2 hours with a guy. We're talking church and faith and life. And he talked about some other clients he had, and something was said about television. He said, oh man, I don't watch that. He said, it disturbs my mind. He said, I'll watch sports. He had one or two sports he'd watch. The rest of it he skipped. Disturbed minds. I was in a hospital waiting room yesterday. I had to get up and go change the TV. It was on a cartoon that I couldn't stand. Mindlessness comes in all forms, folks. And we're responsible for what we think. Listen to this wonderful song as Mary Jo sings, The Mind of Christ.
When others reject to treat each one with true respect, to shield when others throw stones, to be with one who's all alone, to think and choose, to see the very best. To live like this is nothing less than to possess the mind of Christ. My highest goal, the Lord's delight, the desire of my soul, the Father's heart will always guide my life. If I mind of Christ, to build up when others tear down, to seek the lost until they're found, to give grace where it's needed more, rejecting pride when others boast, to sacrifice my all without regret. To live like this is nothing less than to possess the mind of Christ. My highest goal, desire of my soul, the Father's heart will always guide my life. If I will have in me the mind of Christ, my highest goal, the Lord's delight, the desire I the mind of Christ.
Father, we just pray today that you would help us to know what it means and to be willing at all cost to give up our minds, to turn over our minds, to surrender our minds, to die to our minds that we might receive your mind, God. To think your thoughts, to feel your heart, to act as you would act. God, to read your word, to meditate, to shut off the voices that are screaming things that are in error to your mind. God, to decipher and to filter the things that would encourage our fleshly minds, God. Help us to crucify our fleshly minds that we might know how it is to have a mind that stayed on you, that we'll have peace. God, give us the ability to admit, to ask, and to act on receiving your mind. Lord, I know we all have a tendency to have anxious thoughts, fearful thoughts, disturbed thoughts because of the uncertainties of things that we cannot know, will not know, and cannot control. But God, none of that describes your mind. You do know. You are in control. You have a purpose for what occurs. Help us to surrender, yield to your mind. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's some that need to come and spend a moment at your altar and saying, God, my mind is disturbed way too much. I confess that, God. Help me to know how to give it up, to die to the having to know and trust just you knowing and knowing you. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that's never come to the place of acknowledging their sin and their need for Christ, I pray that today would be their day to discover the heart and mind of a loving God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.